Hi, and welcome to Menstrual Cycle Mastery with me, your host, Lisa Dion. I'm an educator, coach, and group facilitator, passionate about exploring the menstrual cycle and the experience of pain or suffering many of us have. Using a mind-body approach and the menstrual cycle mastery skills, I support individuals to reconnect with their cycle and find relief, and I train professionals who want to guide others in this work. Freedom from suffering is possible for you, and there's so much more waiting for you on the other side. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. I'm delighted that you're here listening to us today, or maybe you're watching us on YouTube, where we are now as well. So today I have a graduate from the Menstrual Coach Academy with me to have a chat about her experience and her wonderful work too. So we have Amelia Brunt. Is that pronounced correctly, Amelia?
That is correct, okay. Yes.
I always have to check. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, Lisa. It's lovely to see you and be here to talk about everything menstrual cycle coaching and the work that you're doing at the Academy and where that's led me as well.
Wonderful. Yeah.
To it.
Thank you for being here. I'm really excited about this conversation. And before we get into it, Amelia, would you be able to introduce yourself and your work, please?
I'll try. Yes. I am Amelia Brunt. I'm a clinical supervisor for trauma-informed practice. So what that means is I work directly with the people who work frontline with traumatized people or traumatic content. So that's kind of where my work is. And of course, now I've woven menstrual cycle awareness into that. And that's kind of informing a lot of the direction the work goes in. So my history is I was a teacher for a long time. I was 12 years a classroom teacher, and then 14 years in what in England is called a virtual school for children looked after. So it's a local authority organisation that monitors and supports the education of children in the care system. So while I was doing that job, and there's a reason I'm telling you all this, while I was doing that job, obviously I was faced frontline with loads of trauma, very traumatised children, very traumatised teaching staff trying to work with these children. Mm. And I had supervision, but it was management oversight supervision. It wasn't clinical supervision. It wasn't supporting me with the trauma of that work. And I kept asking for better supervision, I needed to speak to somebody who had an understanding of the psychology of trauma and how that was impacting me. And I was told as a teacher I wasn't entitled to that. So I kind of got a bit of a bee in my bonnet and a fire in my belly. And I thought, that's not okay. Because when I worked at the virtual school, I was sitting in all the same meetings with social workers, psychologists, other therapists. They were all having clinical supervision and I wasn't. And I needed it. So I got on my high horse, really, and galloped over to some postgraduate training. And I qualified as a clinical supervisor and a trauma-informed clinical supervisor because of all the work I'd already done historically. My background is psychology as well, and I'd done loads of work around attachment and trauma and polyvagal theory. So I kind of made the job, really. I made the job that I needed somebody else to do for me. And now I work with any profession where they're working with, you know, content that's challenging, emotionally challenging. Mm. So therapists, educators, social workers, coaches, domestic abuse workers, all sorts of different people, charities. And that's kind of my background and how I got where I am. And then since completing the course with the Academy, I'm calling myself, and I'm not sure about the language yet, but at the moment I'm calling it a therapeutic menopause coach. Mm. Because it's not supervision, obviously. You don't need supervision when you're going through the menopause process. But it's not therapy. It's therapeutic because it brings in all my knowledge of different therapeutic modalities that I've trained in over the years. Mm. So I'm sure we'll get onto this, Lisa, because I know you know through me working with you that the menopause was a big a big thing for me. And I also, again, I needed somebody. It would have helped me to have somebody to kind of psychoeducate me a little bit and hold my hand through the process a little bit. I think that would have grounded me and helped me. And thankfully, I found menstrual cycle awareness and the academy, and that kind of pulled me back to earth a bit, really. But I want to, just like with the supervision, I wanted to be able to offer something to people that doesn't exist as far as I can see. Or if it does, it's not accessible to many people. So now I also offer one-to-one coaching, and I run small groups for women to come to my space, which my daughter has named the Womb Room, which is a beautiful new space that I've created. I'm based in West Yorkshire, in Hebden Bridge in West Yorkshire in the UK. So yeah, I'm running small groups for women who are going through the perimenopause and menopause process, where they can just stop and pause and take a breath and be held in a safe environment where we share some knowledge, we share some wisdoms around cycle awareness and polyvagal under nervous system regulation, and we also, I provide them with a beautiful nurturing lunch so that they can feel held in this space. And they're gorgeous days, absolutely gorgeous. So that's the long answer to what I do.
I love it, Amelia. I love it so much. Thank you for that. Because you're right, like we don't set out from school saying to ourselves, I'm gonna become a menopause a therapeutic menopause coach
Yeah.
or set up an academy
Or
or
even
something.
what is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I love
Yeah, it's
the
been
journey.
interesting, an interesting journey, because I set out from school wanting to teach, and so went and did that, and I love teaching, which is why my organization's called Well Educated. The teaching part of my wellness education is important, but it is also about, well, like literally wells, well sources of well-being, which is why I combined the two words, really. And yeah, the menopause process for me was so dramatic that it pulled me towards it. I've realized that this is the work for me. This is where I am. And this is the work I want to develop as well going forward.
That's beautiful, Amelia. That's beautiful. And wow, there's so many like questions I want to
Yes.
ask you about that. Yeah. So like, well, firstly, I love that you got angry about the lack of support that, especially since you asked for it and there was clearly a need. And you, as you said, you had to get on your high horse and go and train. And you did that, and that's been like that fire in you to get that need met. And now you're bringing that work to all sorts of different people. And I'm sure that gives you so much experience, not just working with like menstrual coaches, but also with other like educators, facilitators in completely different fields. You've seen and heard it all, I'm sure, through your work.
Yeah, and I love that about the work. My supervision work with organizations, I weave cycle awareness into that now. So the two are totally entwined. Just because most people, not everyone, of course, but many people who work in the helping professions are women, or people who bleed, people who are assigned female at birth, that lots of the helping professions are full of us. And so it's really natural, been a natural progression to weave the cycle awareness into my offer in terms of supervision support. So yeah, they definitely hold each other's hand, the two things.
It's amazing. Yeah. And do you find that people are open, people who are not necessarily in the menstrual cycle space, are they open to learning about it and opening
Yeah,
that
it's
door, if
really
you will?
interesting. It's been really interesting because it does, to some extent, it depends on the field they work in, I think, as to how open they are. And of course, I don't just go in there on day one and say, right, this is what we're going to look at. Some people I've worked with for a year maybe before I will start to bring some ideas in like this. It just depends if they feel ready for it. Other people, I know they're ready for it, and we get to it quite quickly, because For me, all of my work is around nervous system regulation and supporting the nervous system and understanding our own nervous system. And cycle awareness and cycle tracking is absolutely integral to that. So it comes in naturally quite quickly. And I might start with thinking about the seasons and helping people to understand how they feel different across a year, for example, before we get into any sort of gory detail about menstruality or anything like that, you know, just depending on who they are. What is amazing, what I love, and how I this just reinforces my deep knowledge that this is so important, this is the way, is that when I do introduce the ideas of just basic cycle tracking, just track your mood and track your, you know, how does your physical body feel and how does your emotional health. You know, even if it's just what's your mood today, simple question. Just doing that, people come back the next time and say, oh my God, like there's a pattern to this. And that is, I just think that's a gift when you find that pattern and realize, you know, you just learn so much more about yourself and realize you're not going mad. There is actually a pattern to this, and there's a reason why this might be happening.
Thank you for saying that. I find that fascinating too when people come into our spaces and then, like, they've had professionals say things like, and it might be true, it might not be true, but they'll say things like, oh, you might have personality disorder or bipolar disorder or something, some like label, some diagnosis, which is fair enough. But then it's like, I then ask them, well, has anyone ever asked you about your menstrual cycle? And 90% of the time, 99% of the time, the answer is no. So it's just
That
shocking.
makes, when you said that, Lisa, it really makes me feel cross. You know, I feel injustice of, you know, and I'm not saying these things don't exist and people don't need medicating because, of course, there's a whole medical model that we need to happen for in safety. But I, like you say, I know the people I work with will often report, oh, well, I have anxiety or I'm depressed or, you know, and then when they track their cycle, that I had a client the other day say to me, I've realized that 20 out of 28 days, the words I've written are calm and grounded. And they said, I thought I was up in the air all the time, but I'm not. I'm calm and grounded for 20 out of 28 days. And there's just a week where I feel paranoid and anxious. And she shifted her perception of herself just by realizing that she is, you know, her world is not paranoid and anxious all the time. It's just a week every month.
I got shivers listening to that because I'm like, oh my God, I can relate. And also, I can relate on behalf of so many of my clients too, that happens, and that perception can really take over, can't it? And the beliefs and the thoughts can really come in, and we just
And I
become
think,
unable
you know,
ourselves.
when I look back on my own menopause process, because I didn't discover cycle awareness until I'd stopped bleeding, which is a was a sadness in itself. Not in terms of menstrual cycle awareness, at least. And when I think about where I was in my menopause process when I discovered cycle tracking, it brought me completely back to myself. Completely. I was really lost in the terrain of menopause, you know, and it was like a beacon of light in that desert, really, just saying to me, come this way, come this way. And when I did, I realized I was able to heal and resolve so much for myself rather than looking outside externally all the time for what is it I need.
I'm going to ask you then a question based on that. I love how you label the experience of menopause and probably perimenopause as the menopause process.
Yes.
Said that a few times. Could you maybe shine a bit more of a light on your language?
Yeah, I do. The journey of the menopause is such a long journey. In our culture, we kind of just think of menopause as that point where you stop bleeding. And I know you're aware, Lisa, you know, that medical definition of 1 year after your last bleed. But my God, you've been on a journey to get there. And then there's still journey after that. And so it is. That for me, the word process kind of encapsulates the entirety of this. It is a process of change And oh my goodness, so much processing of your emotional world previously and going forward, establishing who you are now compared to who you might have used to think you were. And actually, where I got to with it was it's a time for processing so much of, life, like the life that's happened so far. And so it is a process in that we change in that process, and it's also quite a long journey. So, yeah, I keep the word process for me is really encapsulates. It's not just a thing that happens. You know,
Yeah.
it's quite a big psychological change. And my work around menopause is about the psychological aspects of it, really. I'm not a specialist in hormones and therapy treatments and, those things. That's obviously they're part of the conversation, but the bulk of my work is around the psychological aspects of menopause, the process of menopause, which I just don't think have been talked about enough.
No, I love that you're talking about it, Amelia, because as you know from working with me, that my work is also very psychologically focused as well, as opposed to kind of biological. Well, but the reason for that is because I see that the biological can benefit hugely from when we work with the emotional mind-body connection piece. Like, even personally, I experienced more, like, quote unquote, results, more progress, more healing, maybe that's a better word, more relief from the process work in things than from changing my diet. Not to say that that's not good. That's really, really important in looking at those pieces. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I actually had a client the other day who, well, she's I've been working with her for a while, and what came up in the sessions were she's not yet at the perimenopause stage, but she's in the late 30s mark, similar to myself. And it's like, it's great that the menopause is being talked about more in the mainstream media, but a lot of the energy behind the conversations is fear, fear, fear. And this is what's going to happen to you. And this is what happened to my wife. And this is what happened to me. And, all these kind of like horror stories around this terrible thing that coming our way, it sounds like a storm coming. That's what it feels like.
It's like the monster under the bed, isn't it? It's like you can't avoid it, and it's going to happen. If you get out of bed, it's going to be there.
Yeah, so like, what would you say
Oh,
about that? The overall feeling.
I feel tingly when you say that. And I really want to put out there to not be frightened of this. This journey is something that goes along with your life. Things can be difficult. My menopause process was difficult. But the more knowledge you have and education you have around your cycle and your nervous system and what work, the more you can build your tools and resources. This is an amazing time as well. I've never felt so good and grounded and sure of myself, and I know exactly where I'm going, what direction I'm in. There's no bullshit taken anymore. It's that's great. Don't be scared. It's a liberating time. And with the right tools and resources and support, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. And also, I imagine if you're listening to this, you're probably pretty tuned into yourself. Do you know, like, you're listening to this podcast, you are aware of cycle awareness, you are probably tracking your nervous system, etc. And like Amelia said, you probably already have those tools and resources. And like, going back to your story, linking back to cycle awareness and anchoring in that practice is what carried you through, even through the menopause process.
I feel like I should mention here, Lisa. I, in this conversation so far, we're talking about natural menopause, and I'm conscious that lots of people end up in menopause for clinical reasons or surgical reasons, all sorts of other things. And then lose their cycle in terms of menstruality. And just to, I don't want anyone to feel that they're not part of this conversation because, of course, everything we're saying is relevant for those people as well. Because, there are other cycles. I don't have a menstrual cycle. I work very closely with the moon cycle, and that has given me an anchor, and the seasonal cycles as well. So yeah, I have women and people who come and work with me who've had surgical menopause brought upon them and not had any support with that. You know, women in their 30s, and we can still work therapeutically to support that process.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you, Amelia, for saying that. It's so important. It's actually so relevant and something that people, again, isn't talked about enough either, because that medical menopause, and I've heard stories as well where you're right, women aren't even like given the support in the aftermath of that,
No,
and you know, the con
nothing explained. Or, you know, I worked with a client who went and had a hysterectomy suddenly. There was lots of difficulties and it needed to happen quickly. So there was no preparation. And then she was sent home with not even hormone treatment, just
Yeah.
gone. And then wondered why emotionally and mentally she was all over the
Yeah.
place.
Yeah. Yeah. Just goes to show how interconnected our like the mental health is with our hormones, right? Yeah. Yeah.
And the connection as well, Lisa, between trauma and menstruality and menopause. You know, I know that's what drew me to your course, was that you clearly had a trauma-informed element to it.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we know that the more adversity we've had in our life, then it's more likely that our menstrual cycle and our menopause process will be more challenging. So it's good to know that. I'm not saying that to scare anyone.
No.
It's useful to know because we can prepare then for what we need to help us with that.
Exactly. And if you are like identifying with what Amelia's saying and you're listening to this, but like you're saying, you can get the tools and the skills. And what's lovely about that is that even if you have had a lot of adversity, you become a very skilled person with your own like your inner landscape, you know, and you know exactly how to process different things, how to resource yourself, how to get support, like, but you just have to go through that journey of getting to that. I see
I
it
think,
very much as skills work.
I think, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. What really came to me through cycle awareness and practicing cycle awareness was a better understanding of my own interception, my own interceptive awareness. So, by that, just so listeners are aware, what that means is my sense of my internal world.
Yeah.
Understand, you know, really coming back into my, I'd never been in my body, being able to come into my body and listen to my physical world, but also my mental and emotional world in a different way. And that's, to me, that's what cycle awareness offered me, was interceptive awareness. We know through research is key for mental health and well-being, absolutely crucial. So, you know, that's what helped me fall in love with it, really. I just thought, this is what we all
Yeah.
need. We need this.
Yeah. And
So,
it's coming from inside of you. It's not some practitioner doing something to you or guiding you. Not that there's anything bad with that. It's just so like self-contained and you're learning the skill.
trusting.
Yeah.
Having that trust in yourself, which is really hard to do. I mean, I just coming back to, I suppose if listeners aren't anywhere near menopause, they can definitely relate to that autumn into winter aspect of the period cycle where we feel the ground shifting underneath us. And you know, that's a mini version of you know, the menopause experience, really. And just having a better interceptive awareness allows us to know that oh yeah, okay, I'm on day 20. You know, that's when I
Yeah.
look back at my cycle tracking, yeah, I'm all over the place on day 20. That's what happens. That's okay. I can give myself a bit of space. I'm going to keep away from my husband today. You know, I've had to build these things in because I was just otherwise, you know, I just thought it was just me being emotional and upset, but actually I understand it very differently now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shadow of the cycle, isn't it? That inner autumn phase, and when you go through the journey of cycle tracking and like you said, the building intimacy with our internal landscape. Well, for me at least, I'll just speak for myself. I got less afraid of darkness and the dark feelings, and I kind of saw myself as like, oh, I can like this is kind of shamanic. It's like you're kind of building this, you're meeting the dark, you're becoming friends with it, if you will. And it's the fear for me and the resistance to that causes the problem. You know, or the like the lashing out or whatever it is that happens, and it still, you know, does happen, but It's taking, like you said, taking time to go internally. So that's actually very reassuring what you're saying about if we get practice with menstrual cycle awareness and in the premenstrual phase with those very difficult encounters. And I know Red School talk about that being the power of encounter and meeting ourselves there. It's a great practice ground then for the perimenopause, is what I'm hearing
Oh,
you say.
absolutely.
Yeah.
I can remember saying to you, Lisa, on the course, the best preparation for menopause is to practice cycle awareness through your bleeding years in some form or another. It just every month, and Shani from Red School talks about this, doesn't she? Every month you are, you're just honing those skills. They just,
Yeah.
you're getting better and better at it every time.
Yeah. And then you get confident and you're like, I can alchemize my inner world. This is pretty cool, You walk around feeling like confident as opposed to a victim to your own
Oh,
nature,
totally.
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. Very quickly after I started learning about this stuff, a close colleague of mine, I just met her for a coffee. I mean, I was literally 2 months in. This is probably 3 years ago. And we met for a coffee, and she said, "Something's different about you. You seem really different." And I knew then, like, my world shifted very quickly once I started reading and listening and learning about this side of our psyche and our well-being. Yeah, and I think it became very apparent that that was really nice to hear, because I just
Yeah.
thought, yeah, this I know this is right to follow this path.
Yeah. You're really embodying something, Amelia. Yeah. Amazing. I love that. So I'd love to ask you, well, yeah, what was your experience like in my course? I know you've done lots of courses,
I am
but
a bit of a CPD addict. I'm trying really hard to stop it because my bank balance is not happy. But I do, yeah, I think I'm almost there. I've done a lot over the last few years. I've been self-employed for 4 years now. So that was like giving me free license to do as much CPD as I wanted. But obviously, I need to calm down now. So I'm really glad I did your course, Lisa. I came to it because there was that information within there around nervous system regulation and polyvagal theory and attachment, and that was the world I worked in, and so it talked to me from that regard, and I was interested to learn about those things in relation to cycle awareness. So I'd attended one of your supervision process groups prior, which so I knew that. I could trust your knowledge and your wisdom and your integrity and your ability to hold the space safely. I knew that that was, which helped. It was nice to dip my toe in that way first. And I would recommend that, actually, if you still run those, for people to do that if they're not sure, because that cemented for me that I wanted more. And yeah, I mean, it was a great experience. It opened me up to lots of different people from all over the world. You have people, don't you, who train from all over the globe. That was fascinating. And also, just different walks of life, different self-identifying in different ways. And yeah, it was rich and enriching. I'm really great.
Oh, thank you, Amelia. Thank you so much for saying that. And what I loved as well about your process, well, if you don't mind me shining a
Yeah,
little
go
light
on.
on that, was what I know that there was a few you were I don't know everything that goes on inside everyone's inner world, but what you were bringing to the table was your creativity, and you were asking yourself a lot of questions about your practice and how to bring your work out into the world. And even just like you said earlier, like naming your job title and how to work with people, and the creative journey of your practice, your solo entrepreneurship, was being you were with that throughout the
It was
course, weren't
born
you?
from
Yeah.
working with the coaching academy. Absolutely.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
A
thank you.
lot
It
of
was.
ahas.
Yes.
Yeah.
And really, the other people in the room fed into that process. I couldn't have done that. I wouldn't have got here on my own. I needed that community of different ideas, really broadening my thinking around even just I'm a white, I've got a mixed bag in terms of social class, but I suppose I would fall into middle class, heterosexual woman, identify as female. So to step out of that lens was really helpful for me to think about this whole journey and process and menstruality from, from the point of view of people who just identify in totally different ways and their life experience is completely different. Even the culture they're living in, completely different. And that was really helpful.
And that's the lovely thing about the academy is everyone comes in processing something different. Like some people are there and then they take on the teachings because they're still in that personal journey with their cycle. A lot of people are coming in with PMDD or endometriosis, so they're looking for that mind-body support. And a lot of them get the benefits from that. But then I love that you were really navigating, the business end and your practice, and then, like you say, all the different perspectives from people in the room. So I love that. For
And my own healing journey, I think. There's the menopause process is a healing journey, if you can allow it to be. And I think it was a very gentle way of me, that and a load of other things that I had in my life, leaning into being able to process some stuff that had happened over the years and work out where I was going next with that. Yeah, it's very multi-layered, isn't it? The work, it's very,
It is, it is. And I think that's beautiful because you have your personal piece and then the creativity, and then working with clients obviously is a kind of another layer.
And people can access the learning and the experience at whatever level they want. When they come to the academy, they can you can go in at any tier and get what you need from it.
Thank you for saying that. I love what you said as well about trust. Well, I wrote down the word trust because from a business, like from a, I like to think about business and marketing through the lens of our practice and through the lens of trauma informed. This is a trauma informed lens that you work with too. So when you said about that you got a chance to trial my work and be in my space before committing to something, I was like, oh, that's actually really interesting. Because initially that supervision group was kind of a follow on from my professional training. And so it's just it kind of like I've been thinking about that myself in my own work is like how can I build in more spaces into my work where people can have a bit more of a toe dipped in or one foot in the door, and then they get that trust a bit, you know.
I think it is important. I'm the same, Lisa. I'm having those thoughts because I've made a rather bold decision around my business that I don't use Instagram or Facebook or TikTok or, I don't even know what totally out of touch. I don't use those aspects of social media. I've made the decision that I promote my work through podcasts and writing, blogs and research pieces and all the rest of it. And that's a very deliberate decision because for me, social media use does not support nervous system regulation in the long run. It feel like it's a bit like putting a dummy in a hungry baby. It'll quieten the baby for a little bit, but it's not a long-term solution. So I've been reflecting also on those smaller spaces where people can dip their toe in, and you do need to trust. Trauma-informed work is about, trust and safety, safety being first and then trust second. So I want people to come and try things out, which is why, coming to a pause day is really beneficial because you can kind of be in the space, see how it feels. And I would like to run those online at some point. I haven't got there yet, but do that online. So because a lot of my coaching is also online and my supervision work is online. So yeah, that's where I'm heading. It's just each day needs about 58 hours in it instead of 24.
I know, right? I hear you. That's the beauty of your passion and your creativity coming through, and you're figuring it all out, and it's very it's so exciting. But yeah, I hear you with the social. I love what you said as well about social media because I know you were going through that decision making
It
process
was,
too on the course and in the other program. And do you know what's really interesting, Amelia? I continue to think about that as well for myself, as because I don't love social media. I get benefits from it in other regards, but I think about it a lot as well from a business point of view through that kind of practice lens. And I'll help you. So I've done some research, and every time I get someone join one of my courses or a client in the intake form, I ask them how they found my work. And when I was looking at the stats, it's about 90% of people come through SEO, so Google. They'll find your website. People go onto Google to search for the thing that they're looking for. They don't necessarily go onto Instagram. That might come if they're just scrolling, on Instagram. Yeah. So
Wow,
Instagram.
that's interesting.
Yeah. So Instagram is very good for local things, local
So
businesses.
I need to invest a bit more time into that. So I do, my website is very simple, deliberately. I wanted people to land on my website and feel calm and reassured. And if people want to look at that, I think that's how to contact me. I'm not anywhere else, but I don't know how high up that comes.
Yeah, you just have to keep writing blogs, and then like that'll it's a
Well, writing I
slow,
love, so I can do
there you
that.
go. Because the thing, and the love, I love talking about this stuff, but the lovely thing about blogs is they don't die. So a social media post only lasts about 48 hours, whereas a blog or a piece of a long form content piece like a blog or a video or an audio thing, people will still find that even if you've made it years ago, So it's a slow, you don't get that dopamine hit, but you're built, you're it's a long game.
And that, just coming back to the conversation, is that's what this is about, a longer supportive relationship than a hit. We all love dopamine, don't we? But yeah, the way the world is at the moment, it really being on those platforms, I know for myself, just doesn't support my well-being. And so I didn't want to promote that in my work and disrupt other people's nervous systems through them sort of trying to find on those things.
There's a lot of alignment in that decision, Amelia. I love that. So I'd love to ask you more about your work then. You mentioned that you're doing, is it called a pause day where you live? Is that in your
Yeah, I
office?
do call them at the moment. They're called pause days. So they Saturdays, usually the first Saturday of the month, and at the moment they're in person. But yeah, I would like to be able to offer those online. My challenge is knowing where to put that information, because if you're not on these social media websites, how do we get that out? That's another conversation. But yeah, those days are really around, dipping your toe in, learning a bit more about the menopause journey and the process of it, understanding a little bit more about our own nervous system. So it's a couple of hours of psychoeducation within, with lots of tea and biscuits and, nurture.
I love
And
that.
then, depending on the weather, if they're in person, at my office, I deliberately took an office right near to some woodland and a river. So sometimes we might just go for a little stroll together as a group and chat. And we always, whatever happens, we always have a lunch together around a table, just to really, just to, I want, like I said at the beginning, I want people to go away with a little bit of knowledge and wisdom and a real sense of it's going to be okay. Like, I've been held in this process. And people come back, each one's different because it depends. Sometimes people come with a little group of friends and they all know each other. Other times it's just a random group of people. And people come again. And what we actually learn each time is slightly different just because the what people bring to the group. And then, yeah, and then one-to-one work as well, which is mostly online at the moment.
Yeah, with
And then there's a
professionals.
whole load of writing and stuff that's going on in the background.
Yeah. Well, your pause day sounds so nurturing, Amelia. I love the sound of that. And there's such a need for that work, to be held and
It's interesting. They're sold out. They sell at the next ones that they're not available till into the new year.
Oh, wow,
So
Amelia.
I'm
Okay.
finding word of mouth, once people have been, they're telling their friends and
I'm not surprised at all. I'm really not surprised at all. to hear that, and there's clearly a need for it. And then they have a really beautiful experience, and then they're putting the next one in their diary, or they're bringing a friend or telling friends, and
Yeah. And
yeah.
then ultimately, what I'd love to do is run longer training of, courses and for people around that, around that knowledge and wisdom.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you're planning on doing that online as well. You're just figuring out the systems to manage that. Is that correct? Yeah.
And of
You.
course, I also just still I do a lot of supervision work, and at the moment, that's evolving into supervising all, as well as all the other helping professions, menstruality coaches as well, and people
Yeah.
working in that field. I know we had a conversation once, Lisa, about do people need supervision in this work? And obviously, it depends on at what level you're doing the work. But if you are faced with people who are distressed and hurting emotionally, then it's really important that we hold this work safely for
100%.
people.
Yeah.
So I feel really, and I use the word supervision, trauma-informed supervision. Other people might call it mentoring or coaching, or, it can be called lots of different things. Because of the way I work, it is a very supportive supervision model. I feel really strongly that it's important if the work that you do exposes you to emotional distress.
100%, Amelia. It's so I don't think I could do this work if I didn't have a supervisor and other people I
Yeah.
could go to with different things, because it's
It's so
so,
important.
yeah.
Yeah. And I think because this field is women or people that bleed, people assigned female at birth, we have a real tendency, and this is a whole other podcast, we won't go into this now, but we have a real tendency to overgive and overshare and save and find solutions, and we're very, as the feminine side of the species, we're very, very, we tolerate a lot and we give a lot. And because of that, there's a danger that we go into this work and just think, oh, well, I can manage that.
Yeah.
I can cope with that. I'll be all right.
Yeah.
And I feel really strongly that the sustainability of the work, like you say, Lisa, the quality of the supervision you receive or the mentoring, whatever you want to call it, is so integral to the sustainability of working with other people.
Totally. It's so true, Amelia. And like, it's also not, if we're not getting support, or if our boundaries are kind of flapping and things like that, and we're overgiving, it's not good modeling for what we want our clients to learn, right? It just doesn't work. If we're not practicing what we preach, then how can our clients embody the same thing? And it's really not easy. It can be very difficult to stretch a little bit and invest in supervision, or to ask for help, or to implement what we learn in supervision, because that's another thing. You know, like, change the policy in your business practice, or whatever it is, you know, or let people down, or whatever the thing is that you go through when you go into supervision. But like you said, you use the word integrity. When you find that integrity, you feel you do feel stronger in yourself. You feel more contained and supported, and you can actually feel stronger for others without giving so much of yourself.
And if we're thinking about being trauma-informed, it's so important that the space we work in is safe for people, for ourselves and for others. And so, yeah, that it's for me, it's a non-negotiable. Really, at certain level of work, if I think we've talked before about supervision, and we were saying, if you're just running a workshop for, the Women's Institute or, your local church group or whatever, that's one thing. But if you're doing deep healing work or therapeutic type of work with people one to one or evening groups, then it's definitely, it's an investment that is just non-negotiable, I think it's
I
worth to
agree.
do.
And what I've seen people say to me, and I agree with, I can see why they say this, because I've thought this way before too, before I stepped into supervision. And a lot of people will say, oh, I don't have enough clients yet to pay to be able to afford it or to justify it. But what I would say is, like, when from my and this is from my own experience, like, when I started supervision, I didn't have like loads of clients either, but my supervisor encouraged me to do it anyway. And what actually happened was, I grew so much in supervision that my practice improved, and then I felt more confident in my marketing and in all of my sales and stuff. So it kind of
Yeah.
like it started like I just attracted more work then. Do you know, I had
Yeah.
more of a
That's really
container.
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it wasn't like, oh, I have to wait first to kind of like, you know, get clients in the door. Like I think it is good to kind of know what you're doing first. And then but then I did. I think I was doing supervision before I really was working very much, you know. So just to say to people listening who are like not really sure what supervision is and maybe putting it off, but feeling like they're depleted and you know, or they're stuck and they're not feeling like they're getting enough clients, you can actually get like more inner work done in supervision, and that will help you through. You don't have to do loads of business courses in order to get that done. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, that's a really interesting take on it.
Yeah.
And I have two supervisors that I see separately for separate reasons, like that, what they give me different things. And I need both of those. They but you know, both of what they give me is beneficial to my well-being and my work. And then I also attend group supervision.
Yeah.
Because of what I do and the content of it, I invest a lot in my supervision in order to keep it safe for everybody else.
Yeah.
So yeah, so what I'm saying is, it's interesting that you say that, and just explore what's around. The challenge is finding the person that's right for you, because not all supervisors will be. And so I would say to people, if you're considering this kind of support, then do your homework, meet people, ask them questions. Don't be afraid, of just seeing if it feels right for you, because I won't be right for some people and other people won't be right. It's just finding the person that's your kind of person.
Yeah, that's really a really good point. It's the same if you're finding a therapist, you know. I say to people,
Yeah.
go on some therapy dates, you know, go on some supervision dates,
Yeah,
and just
yeah,
yeah,
gosh,
go,
yes.
you know.
I wish I'd known that in the past,
Me too. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's really important. But that's wonderful. I think that's really it then, Amelia. Is there anything else that you'd like to say before we go? And I'm going to share your website and your work down in the show notes so people know where to find you.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah.
No, I think, just I feel so passionately that this work and menstrual cycle awareness and the depth of that work is so important for people in terms of just mental health and well-being, physical health and well-being, community health, everything about the world at the moment. This feels so important, and so I'm really delighted that things like this podcast are available for people to broaden their understanding and awareness. And I would just say, if you've got any interest at all, and your appetite's been whetted around this stuff, just keep going with it and keep exploring it, because it's so enriching. It will change your world,
Yeah.
and in brilliant ways.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Amelia. And thank you for the work you do. And thank you for getting angry and getting on your high horse and following your calling and going through into the depths of the process. And you're still
Yeah.
there. It sounds like
Yeah.
you're still journeying something. It sounds lighter, thankfully, and more fun now.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, a lot lighter, but
Yeah.
I think it's a lifelong journey.
It
There's so
is.
much, every interaction we have tells us more about ourselves, doesn't
Yeah.
it?
But what I love about you as well is that you came to menstrual cycle awareness work after you had stopped bleeding. And that's so wonderful, because I do sometimes come across people who say to me, "Oh, it's not really for me because I'm out the other side," you know. So it was so wonderful to have you in the academy last year and to
Yeah.
be the voice, you know, to be the menopause voice in the room, which is
Yeah.
what we
And
need.
I was nervous about that, wasn't I? Because I was the oldest, I think, in the group. But
Yeah.
we live in a cyclical world.
Yeah.
That's what, and once you realize that it doesn't matter whether you're bleeding still or not.
No.
We still all live in cycles.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Thanks, Lisa.
Oh, thanks, Amelia. Hope you have a lovely weekend. And
Thank
great
you.
to have you. And we'll have to have you back because we've lots of different topics to explore, I feel.
Yes, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's lovely to be with you again.
Thank you. And remind us, for anyone listening, what was your website called again?
So my website is hyphen-educated.co.uk.
Brilliant. And they
And
can go there.
there's a contact form on the website if you want to just drop me an email. That's the best way to get me until I have enough time to think about things like Google searches.
Thanks, Amelia.
Okay,
Everyone,
take care. So bye
thank
now.
you. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. And yeah, you can contact Amelia below. And if you're interested in Menstrual Coach Academy, you can also refer to the website in the show notes below. See you soon. Thanks for joining me on the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. If you'd like to begin this work with me, I run the Menstrual Mastery Collective, a monthly membership where you can dive deep into this work live alongside me and a supportive community. I'm also the founder of the Menstrual Coach Academy, a professional training space for trauma-informed coaching and facilitation. Head on over to the links in the bio to sign up for courses, programs, and grab any resources available. I'm so glad you're here.